Morning, everyone. I want to greet you all in the precious name of the I Am, of Jesus, the one who has given us glorious freedom. I was impressed again with that song this morning. I was bound by sin's galling fetters, chained like a slave. I struggled in vain. But I received a glorious freedom when Jesus broke my fetters in twain. Are we grateful this morning for what Jesus has done for us? I was blessed by the service already this morning. I appreciated the thoughts that were shared in the Sunday school. Are we doing our part in passing on the faith? I was challenged by that this morning. And being a good example is a very important part of it. But it takes more than that. It takes a building of conviction in the hearts of the next generation and a teaching from the Word of God. This morning, I'd like to bring a message based on a question. The title of the message is this question: What is my purpose in life? Why am I here? What is my ultimate goal in life? This is some of the questions that I'd like to think about this morning in relation to this. Why are we here? Trenton brought out that God created each one of us. Why? What is our purpose? You can turn to Genesis chapter 1 briefly. We'll look at a few verses here to start out. And in verses 27 and 28, and then in chapter 2, verse 15, I'd like to read these verses. It says that God created man, Genesis 1, verse 27, in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. And subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And then in chapter 2, verse 15, and the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. We are created in the image of God, and we are given a responsibility to replenish the earth and to subdue it, to take care of it. And he called Adam in that beginning of the earth, he put him in the garden and to dress it, to take care of it, to take care of his creation in the world. So is that our whole purpose in life? To work? I believe that's a very basic part of it, but I don't think that is our whole purpose in life. I'd like to start out just evaluating what Jesus' purpose in life was, first of all. And we can learn a few things from that first, and then we'll look at our purpose in life specifically, a little more specifically, our purpose in life, and then some points along the way. So in Luke chapter 2, verse 49, is the account where when Jesus was a boy, I believe he might have been 12 years old when his parents took him to the temple, and they went to leave and he wasn't with them, and they figured out he was back there with the leaders in the temple. And they scolded him for not, why did he do this? And he said, he asked them this question, wist ye not, didn't you know that I must be about my Father's business? in John chapter 9, we're going to be jumping around a little bit here. There's a few passages in John that we'd like to look at. But in John chapter 9, verses 1 to 5, was the account where Jesus was passing by. He was leaving the temple because the people were taking up stones to stone him. And as he was going out through, he saw the blind man from his birth. And his disciples asked Jesus, "Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" And Jesus answered, "Neither this man hath sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him." And then in verse 4 is the point I'd like to bring out. "I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Verse 4 is the focus here. I must work the works of him that sent me. Jesus' mission on his earthly time spent on this earth was to work the works of his Father in heaven. That was his mission. That was his purpose in life here on this earth. Again, in John chapter 4, right after the encounter with the woman at the well, and in verse 34, his disciples again had came back and they found him talking to the woman. And in verse, we'll just jump in at verse 31. "In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him," or asked him, saying, "Master, eat." They were asking him to eat. And he said unto them, "I have meat to eat that ye know not of." Therefore said the disciples one to another, they talked among themselves, and they asked the question, "Did someone bring him something to eat?" And Jesus said unto them, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work." My meat, my nourishment, my fulfillment is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Again, in John chapter 6, and in verse 38, he is talking to the people, I believe, here. And he said, "For I am come down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the will, and this is the Father's will, which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." Verse 38 is the focus here. "I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me." Jesus' purpose in life was not to do what he wanted to do, what his agenda was. His purpose in life was to do what his Father had set him to do. He wasn't here to pursue his own desires. He was here to simply do the work that his Father had called him to do. The second point, Jesus' purpose was to help people who were living in sin to find spiritual healing through repentance. And we see that in Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5, verses 31 and 32. "And Jesus answering said unto them, They that are whole." So his disciples were challenging him here that he was eating and drinking and having meals with sinners and publicans. And Jesus answering said unto them, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but the sinners to repentance. I came to call sinners to repentance. That was another purpose in his life. His purpose was to help people who were living in sin to find spiritual healing through repentance. He was here to bring sinners back into a right relationship with God by repenting and turning from their sinful ways. That was his purpose. Another purpose, the third one I have, is to bring people to a decision, which is sort of what Joshua was doing. Calling them to choose this day who you are going to serve. Jesus' purpose was to bring people to a decision to either follow God wholeheartedly or deny him. It was either one or the other. Either you follow God with your whole heart or you deny him. And we'll see that in Matthew chapter 10. He has some pretty strong language in this point. Matthew 10 and verses 23 to 39. Sure, if we'll read all of these verses. I'm sorry, not 23, verse 32. We'll start at verse 32 in Matthew chapter 10. And whosoever, he said, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And he goes on to say that unless a person is ready to follow Christ with his whole heart and live for God with their whole heart, even if it means deserting their family to do so, they're not worthy of him. Some pretty strong language. And I know most of us here this morning probably don't really know what that feels like, to have to leave your loved ones, your family, to make the decision to follow Jesus with your whole heart. Is that our purpose in life? Jesus didn't come to just put peace throughout all the earth. He came to bring people to a decision. Either we're going to follow God with our whole heart, or we're going to deny him. In John chapter 12, starting in at verse 46, I believe he's talking to the Pharisees here and the chief rulers that love to praise. In verse 43, it says that there's those that love the praise of men more than the praise of God. And then, we'll read verse 44 to 46. Jesus cried and said, he that believeth on me believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. He that seeth me seeth him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. I am come a light into the world. The leadership at that time was full of corruption. And Jesus came to bring light to all of the truth, to be a light to the world. If any man, verse 47, hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I am not come to judge the world, but to save the world. Here he is saying that I didn't come to judge the world, but to save the world. Jesus' purpose was to show people the way to the Father, to be a light, the way to salvation from sin. But then he goes on to say in 48 to 50, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. the word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. Jesus' message was from God, and he was saying that I didn't come to this earth to judge the world, but to save the world. I came to make a way for salvation from sin. In the last day, though, I will be a judge. God will judge those who reject Jesus in the end. Jesus' time on this earth was not for judgment, but for a way of salvation. But the time of judgment is coming, is what he was saying. Let's take the time to look at our purpose in life. You know, God created each one of us uniquely different. And I believe each one of us here this morning was created for a special purpose. Your purpose in life individually may be different than mine. God's will and purpose for each of us is not all the same. But this morning I'd like to focus on some aspects of our purpose in life that we all share together, that are the same for every one of us. In Romans chapter 8, let's turn there and read a few verses. Romans chapter 8. And look at verse 29, first of all. We'll look at some more verses in the beginning of the chapter later on here. But first of all, Romans 8, verse 29, it says, "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate, to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." The words, "to be conformed to the image of his Son," is what stood out to me in this verse. Part of our purpose in life is to become as much like Christ as we can. To be conformed to the image of his Son. To be as much like Christ as we can. And in that, preparing us for eternal glory. That's one of our purposes in life, is to be conformed to the image of his Son. To become as much like Christ as we can. In Matthew chapter 28, I don't think we'll turn there. I'll just read these verses. Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20 is the Great Commission. "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen." Part of our purpose in life includes taking part in the Great Commission. To tell others about Jesus and in the building of the kingdom of the God. And you know, when we are intentionally involved in this, when we are intentionally telling others about Christ and building the kingdom of God this way, Jesus promises to be with us to the end. We have that promise. Tell the world about the Savior, about Jesus and what he has done for you. That is part of our purpose in life. In 2 Timothy 2:15, we have the familiar verse, "Study to show thyself, approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Because God will examine the kind of workers that we have been for him, we should build our lives on his word and build his word into our lives. The Bible alone tells us how to live for him and to serve him. So the challenge I'd like to leave in this is to consistently and diligently study the Word of God. Every day. It tells us how to live for Him. So that we won't be lulled into neglecting God and our true purpose for living. Study to show thyself approved unto God, rightly dividing the word of truth. In Romans chapter 11, verse 36, for of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. Our grand purpose in life, brothers and sisters, is to honor, to obey, and to praise God. That is our greatest purpose in life. And I'd like to look at that some more through the next points in the message here. Let's turn again to Romans 8, verses 5 and 6. It says in verse 5, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. They that are after, or governed by, or driven by the flesh, mind the things of the flesh. Pay attention to the things of the flesh. Follow after the things of the flesh. But they that are after, or governed by the Spirit, go after the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, and to be spiritually minded is life and peace. What governs your life this morning? What are you after? What is your purpose in life? What drives you to keep on going? What is your motivation in life? What you live for or live after will determine your purpose in life. You know, I realize that God created each one of us as physical beings, and we all have natural physical needs. We get hungry and we need to eat. We get thirsty, we need to drink. We get tired and we need to rest. In John 4 is a beautiful picture in Jesus' interaction with the woman at the well. I'm just going to read verses 3 to 7. This is an example of how to balance our physical needs, our physical activities, our natural activities with spiritual ones. And in verses 3 to 7, where Jesus is traveling, he left Judea, and he departed again into Galilee, and he is going through Samaria. And he comes to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. And Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water, and Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. When Jesus sat down at Jacob's well to rest, it was a natural or physical thing to do. He was tired. He was traveling and he was tired and he needed to rest. Then he asked the woman to draw some water for him to drink because he was thirsty. But think about it. When Jesus asked the woman for water, was his purpose to take care of his natural needs? Or to teach her a spiritual lesson? I believe it was both. He intertwined his physical activities to spiritual. And that's a challenge that I'd like to leave us this morning, to balance our physical activities with spiritual. Brethren, we all have physical responsibilities to earn a living, so we can provide for our physical needs, the needs of our families. Whether we go to work for someone or we own a business or whatever. Or maybe you're self-employed. You go to work to earn money to pay for food, clothing, houses, school, vehicles, the list goes on. Sisters, you all have physical responsibilities as well. Whether it's cooking, washing clothes, shopping for clothing or groceries, caring for your children, the list goes on. In all of this, what is our purpose in life? What drives us to keep on going? What is our ultimate goal in life? Is it only to please ourselves or our natural desires, the desires of our carnal nature, or is there a deeper purpose? Jesus did physical things as well. In Mark 6:3, it was said that he was a carpenter. He knew enough about farming to explain the parable of the sower. At times, like in Mark chapter 1, verses 34 to 38, the crowd was pressing in. This happened multiple times. That the crowd was pressing in on him, and he just went off by himself to rest and to pray and to think and meditate. But then the people would catch up to him, and he would say, "Let us go to the next town, because I must preach there." When he heard of John the Baptist's death, he headed off by himself for a little while. But Jesus lived an interwoven life, and it's hard to separate his spiritual activities from his natural ones. You know, all through his life, Jesus used physical illustrations like seeds and bushel baskets and even the wind to explain spiritual truths. He even used the dilemma of a hungry crowd in a remote place to display God's miraculous power to multiply those 5 loaves and 2 fish and feeding the 5,000. So the challenge I'd like to leave, brothers and sisters, whether we're dealing with our daily natural needs or teaching great spiritual truths, can we follow Jesus' example of his ultimate goal? And that was to glorify his Father in heaven. This should be the goal of every follower of Christ. No matter how mundane your task is, whether it's shoveling snow, or maybe it's checking schoolwork, taking out the trash, sweeping the floors, no matter how trying your job is, things just don't go right. The parts you ordered are wrong. Or how stressful your life can be. Maybe you have an angry customer because you weren't able to get their job done in time. Whatever it is, if our heart is spiritually governed, or if we are living after the Spirit, and our goal is to bring glory to God, we can find opportunities, even in those most trying circumstances, to glorify our Father. And I'm preaching to myself this morning. Do we find opportunities and take those opportunities to glorify our Father through the mundane and trying circumstances in life? You know, the only way to live out God's purpose for us is to deny self, to take up our cross, and to follow Jesus. John chapter 17 is a beautiful prayer that Jesus had at the end of his earthly ministry. I'm not going to take the time to read it, but we can see in this chapter Jesus' heart's desire, his passion to give eternal life to as many as would believe in him. We see his desire to be restored to his former glory with his Father in heaven. He had a prayer for the church, for us today, that there would be a keeping of the saints, that the church would be kept pure, that the unity of the church would go on. And he prayed for the exaltation of the church in the end in glory. But his ultimate purpose, let's just read John chapter 17, verse 1. Father, the hour has come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. His ultimate goal, his ultimate purpose was to bring glory to God with his life. Brothers and sisters, I just want to challenge each one of us as we go on through life to have that purpose in our forefront, to bring glory to God is why we're here. Through all of life, and someday to meet him in glory. Let's pray.